Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning.
In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father and Terry.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
I then, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to be in a manner worthy of the call you have received. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit. As you're all called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. The word of the Lord. That's Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd like to go back and meditate upon that. Very beautiful, isn't it? Very beautiful. And those are two of the virtues that I think we all have to struggle with at times, and it's humility and patience. We're easier said than done. It's not always easy to be humble, and much less is it easy to be patient. So let's pray that we would grow in humility, and let's pray that we would all grow in patience too. Amen?
Amen.
Humility, tough virtues. Easier said than done. And those are two of the virtues that seem to jump out when you're reading the diary of St. Faustina, just the way Faustina lives. Oh, what a humble nun she is, no? And how patient. How humble and patient. Over the past 3 weeks, what we've been doing, those who are just jumping in now, we're reading through when she is called to make a retreat. And it seems as if she's not going to be able to go because there's another nun in the convent that's trying to place barricades or obstacles. And then Jesus says to her that you're going to go. And this other sister comes from another convent named Sister Valeria, and the mother superior says, you can go with Sister Valeria. And then she arrives at the convent, and instead of having a welcoming committee there, guess who was there? Was the nun that tried to prevent her from going there in the first place. And the passage says that she was disappointed that Faustina had arrived, and Faustina greeted her and smiled at her and then went on with her preparation for the retreat. And this nun ends up in her cell with her at night because of curiosity, trying to just basically destroy the retreat. And Faustina is just hanging in there, no? So that's where we're at. And then last week we spoke about All Saints, right? 2 weeks ago, we have Faustina, who's making a retreat, seems to be an Ignatian retreat, and she actually has, in Poland, she has an American that travels from the United States to go to Poland to give an Ignatian retreat. And I was saying that she, one of her fears was that maybe he wouldn't be able to understand her, no? Maybe he spoke English and she only spoke Polish, no? So that's where we're at. And that will take us to number 173, right? Okay, so 173. So this this number, which is divided into two paragraphs in 174, is going to be speaking with the way Satan, the way the devil intervenes to prevent her from reaping an abundant harvest in this retreat. I'd like to try to apply this to ourselves, how the devil, Satan, can enter into our lives and prevent us from reaping the harvest that he wants to give to us. I think it's a good idea to try to apply these passages to our own life. Satan's temptations during meditation. They felt a strange fear that the priest would not understand me. Or that he would have no time to hear everything I would have to say. How am I to tell him all this? For Father Bulkowski, I could do it more easily. But this Jesuit who I'm seeing for the first time, then I remembered Father Bulkowski. I read that wrong, didn't I? Father Bulkowski advised that I should at least take brief notes of the light sent to me by God during the retreats and give him at least a brief report on them. My God, for a day and a half, all has gone well. And now a life and death struggle is beginning. Conferences to start in a half an hour. And then I am to go to confession. Okay, I've written down various temptations that could be present when someone wants to make a retreat. So I've, when I was meditating upon this morning, I was able to write down several. So we might even apply this to ourselves. First one is, God wants you to go on the retreat, and the devil says, don't go on the retreat. And it's interesting is, often before major victories, there's an avalanche of contrary thoughts. I'd say avalanche. Like a deluge of negative thoughts that assail us. You might even apply this to other spiritual victories. Has it ever happened where you really feel God is calling you, you go to confession and all of a sudden you have all these, well, maybe I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe the line is too long, or maybe I should pile up a few extra sins before I go. These peccadilloes, these arguments. My pellet father with marshmallows. Let's give him some hard rock, something. But it's true, before rock. Before major victories, often there's a lot of friction. Because the devil knows that if you're able to overcome that hurdle, then a lot of grace is going to flow through you and flow on others. More than once, working with a couple that's maybe been living together for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and they finally accept to get married in the church, and then a week or two before, it's canceled. That happens pretty frequently. And there's really no rhyme or reason. They have a blowout of a big argument and say, look, we're about to get married. We're having a fight now. How could we possibly get married if we're fighting now? And it was actually the devil himself that provoked that fight so that they wouldn't get married after they're living together for 25 years. The devil is very crafty. Very crafty. Okay, another temptation would be I'm not going to be going, I'm not going to go to that director or confessor because really I'm wasting his time. You ever have that one?
Yeah.
Kind of wasting his time. Why waste his time? There are bigger sinners than me. Let them go first. Probably some people in that line that haven't gone for 20 years and I haven't gone in 20 days. Let's let the big fish get in. Hey, the devil's pretty crafty. Pretty crafty. If he can't get in one side, he'll try to get in another side. If he can't get through the roof, he'll go through the basement. He can't go through the window, he'll go through the shades. I mean, he looks for a crack and he goes for the kill. Another one is that I'm making the retreat and I have a director to then a retreat in a couple weeks, right? We give our 65 directees, we give them a director. I can't trust that one. That director, he had a very suspicious look on her face. I don't think I can trust him. Hey, I wasn't born yesterday. I've been around the block a few decades. No, I mean, the devil is very tricky. And he'll do anything he can to prevent the grace from flowing. That director is younger than me. How dare you? I'm 60, and I'm 70. That's 60 years old. How is that person going to direct me? I should be directing her. Maybe you know that our rector major and our provincial are much younger than me and Father Larry, but we have to obey them, right? The devil is crafty. What else? If you go to your director or confessor, he's not going to understand you. Not going to understand you. Different culture. He's not going to understand my Filipino accent, okay? It's not going to work, no? Now, if you had a New York accent, that would be different, right? Now, Faustina was being accused of being hysteric. That was her accusation in the convent. She was a hysterical, emotional nun that was just being tricked by delusions. No? Maybe if I open up with some of these meditations, my director will think I'm crazy. That's what happened to him. I got a persona chief lava, no? Okay, so those are some temptations that come. Let's move on and see what happens with Faustina. Satan tried to persuade me into believing that if my superiors have told me that my inner life is an illusion, why should I ask again and trouble the confessor? Didn't probably Mother Jane tell you that the Lord Jesus does not commune with souls as miserable as yours? Talk about fraternal charity in the convent, huh? You kind of read this, you're kind of shocked. You would think that in a convent of sisters that are pursuing perfect charity, there would be a little bit more compassion, huh? However, to try to explain this, how are we going to grow in virtue unless our virtue is tested? If Faustina didn't have all these obstacles, these contradictions, these humiliations, we wouldn't have this sterling, splendid, holy person that we're reading now. If everything was just a piece of cake, where's the virtue? So God purposely allowed this so that Faustina could practice heroic virtue. Think about the trials that you have, and maybe complain about the trials. Now, if God didn't send you those trials, how are you going to grow? How are you going to grow in humility and patience, as we were saying half hour ago? So God purposely allows these sufferings so that you can draw closer to Him. And unless we look at our spiritual life through the lens of the trials of the crosses that God sends to us for our own purification, sanctification, I don't think we're really going to become the saint that God calls us to be. Because we're all called to become saints, right? And in a certain sense, talking about the month of November, this is an opportunity also to have our purgatory here on earth. You could go right to heaven if you want to, but the key is trying to conform our will to the will of God. Easier said than done. Huh? It's a great text. Lord Jesus does not commune with souls as miserable as yours. This confessor is going to tell you the same thing. Why speak to him about all this? These are not sins. And Mother X told you that all this communing with the Lord Jesus was daydreaming and pure hysteria. I'd like to make an intervention now related to the movie. Did any of you see the movie of St. Faustina?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now all this idea of hysteria, delusion, making things up. If Faustina did not have blessed Father Michael Sopochko, we wouldn't have this. And I don't know what really hit you most in the movie. I'm going to go see it again December 2nd. Hopefully you'll go and see it a second time. They're going to be showing it again. One of the things that really hit me is how much that priest suffered. I knew that he suffered a little bit, and we're reading through some of his sufferings. But he suffered a lot. A lot. Get that painting approved, to get her diary accepted, he basically went through hell. Faustina is going to die in 1938. Father Sopocho is going to die in 1975. Got that? Almost another 40 years he's going to live. And basically, I really feel that he felt he died a total failure. His name is Blessed Michael Sopochko. You know what that means? One more miracle, he's going to be a canonized saint. I don't know about you people, but these things, I try to apply them to myself. And I think one of the defects of being an American is this, especially if you're a son of a successful businessman of Wall Street. You got plans, you got steps to carry them out, and you'll want to see results. Sorry, I was brought up and raised like that. That was not successful. So you've got a plan. You've got A, B, C completed. Another plan. A, B, C, success. Another plan. A, B, C, success. That's kind of the way the Americans are wired. No? Right, Eric? Well, I am.
Corporate world.
Yeah, the corporate world, you're wired in that way. No? But you know, seeing this film, I came to the conclusion that's not the way God works. Does he? Who would have ever thought in a million years that the Son of God would save us by being nailed on a cross? That's preposterous. That's unthinkable. It was the worst way to die. God the Father decided that was the way that his Son was going to save the whole universe. And really my conclusion, meditating upon this film, is this. All the projects that I have, with the help of many of you people who helped me out of some of my projects, my conclusion from that movie is everything I'm going to try to do, AMDG. In other words, my intention is going to be everything for the honor and glory of God. But if it doesn't turn out according to my New York mentality, my corporate world mentality, I shouldn't worry. Because my intention was to please God and to save souls. Amen? And I think all of us are infected by that to a limited degree. Right, Alma? Yeah? We all are to a limited degree. We live in this country, no? And not to say you shouldn't have plans and goals and ask the Lord, well, what does the psalm say? Give success to the work of our hands. Give success to the work of our hands. That's one of the psalms, right? Ask the Lord to bring your projects to a successful conclusion. There's a biblical verse on that, too. And the importance is really purity of intention. Okay, I think the best example would be this. I'm going to give you a marked biblical contrast. Jesus would preach to the multitude. Do you remember the multiplication of the loaves? There was 5,000 men without counting the women and the children. You say you got the men, their wife. Let's say it was a Mexican family of four kids, okay? That would be. Any math majors here? Okay, 14,000. It's a lot of people, huh? So Jesus was preaching to thousands of people. Right? Big number, huh? How does he end his life? Count the people. Fulton Sheen gives a wonderful talk on this. Who was there at the foot of the cross? Those thousands of people, were they there? There's only three people at the foot of the cross. Magdalene, John, and Mary. You'd feel, you'd think in the culminating moment of his life there'd be a few more people, right? So ask yourself, are you doing everything for the honor and glory of God? I think some of us, I include myself, we have mixed motives. We don't always do everything for the honor and glory of God. But we should aim at it, right? Aim high. Yeah, he seems to have been, he probably thought, well, at least I tried. And I tried, you know, when did Faustina die? In 1938, right? So he's working on this project. 38, 48, 58, 68. In between 40 and 50 years on this one project, right? Talk about patience and perseverance, huh? One project, 40 to 50 years. Have you ever done that for the past 50 years of your life? Huh? You're not even 49 yet, maybe, huh? There's a lot of lessons in this, no? I watched a documentary on Francis Xavier, and the commentator was, he felt the same way. Francis Xavier. It didn't turn out in India the way he wanted it. In Japan, there was some Japan, come a little bit, yeah. China, drops dead on the island of Sanchan. Never even reached China. When I saw the documentary, I almost fell off my chair because I thought they probably, oh, look at me, Francis Xavier, baptizing all these people, I was successful. It didn't turn out the way he wanted it to. And there's a lot of corruption in India. Portuguese traders, they were rotten. Most of them. But I'm sure he really tried to live out the AMDG. But he didn't see the results. Did you ever read the life of Elizabeth Le Sueur? None of you? She was a French woman married to an atheistic doctor about 100 years ago. Her name was Felix, and she suffered a lot because he made fun of her Catholic religion, and she wrote in the diary that she was offering a lot of penance for the salvation of her husband, and she contracts cancer when she's, I guess, in her late 20s, maybe early 30s, and then she dies. And he opens up her diary, and she's writing how she loved her husband and offered herself as a victim soul for the salvation of her husband. Her husband goes back to confession. He goes back to church. And then Fulton Sheen, as a young priest, was making a retreat. And there was a Dominican priest that was often saying during the retreat, as my beloved wife Elizabeth used to say, not only was he converted, he became a Dominican priest. She didn't see it, did she? She was just exposed to his bitterness, his sarcasm, his anger, his insults to the Catholic Church. She only saw the worst. But through her suffering and her victimhood, that this man was converted, and who was the recipient of his preaching? The great Fulton Sheen. And he's the one that tells it most eloquently. But there's books written on her. I think she's already a servant of God, no? Something beautiful for God, something like that. Elizabeth Le Sueur. Read on a little bit more. You'll be dead better to dismiss all these illusions. Look how many humiliations you've suffered because of them. How many more are still awaiting you? And all the sisters know that you are hysteric. Oh boy. Jesus, I called out with all the strength of my soul. You know, maybe sometimes we arrive at a point where the only thing we can say is Jesus. Or Jesus, help me. That could be the best prayer in your life. Peter was sinking, Lord, save me. I'm sinking. It's a good prayer. Jesus. I was teaching confirmation. I've got a group of about 40 boys and an AP class on Friday. Really great class. Really great class. And this week, the whole thrust of this year is getting them to know Christ. So this week, I spent an hour talking about the Christological titles for Christ. Jesus, Good Shepherd, Bread of Life, Holy Communion, Divine Master, Teacher. But with the name of Jesus, I told them, look, the two things I like to say, when you find yourself really in the dumps, you're really tempted, say the name Jesus. And say the name Mary. Jesus, Mary. They said that to you. When you're in desolation, say those two names. A lot of trust. I think that'll pull you out of your desolation. If you believe. And he told them also at the name of Jesus. You ever watch when we celebrate Mass? When the priest says the name Jesus in Mass. What do? We bow our head. What does St. Paul say in the letter to the Filipinos? Oh, sorry, the Philippians. I always get that wrong, don't I? No? At the name of Jesus. Friend? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. Heaven? On earth and on earth to the glory and honor of God the Father. In the name of Jesus, bow your head, bow your knee, bow your heart, bow your emotions, bow your whole being. In the name of Jesus, the holiest name that ever existed. In the name of Jesus. That's a lesson here. She calls upon Jesus. She can turn nowhere except to Jesus. He's the only one that can pull her out of that, so to speak, desperate situation. Lord, save me. At that moment, the priest came in. He began the conference. He spoke for a short time, as if he were in a hurry. After the conference, he went over to the confessional. Seeing that none of the sisters were going there, sprang from my kneeler, and an instant was in the confessional. Kind of like Bartimaeus, huh? Springing to his feet. Huh? There was no time to deliberate. St. instead of telling the Father about the doubts that had been sown in me in respect to my dealings with the Lord Jesus, I began to speak about these temptations I've just described above. The confessor immediately understood my situation and said, "Sister, you distrust the Lord Jesus because he treats you so kindly. Well, sister, be completely at peace. Jesus is your master. And your communing with him is neither daydreaming nor hysteria nor illusion. Know that you are on the right path. Please try to be faithful to these graces. You are not free to shun them. You do not need at all, sister, to tell your superiors about these interior graces. Unless the Lord Jesus instructs you clearly to do so. And even then, you should first consult with your confessor. But if the Lord Jesus demands something external, in this case, after consulting your confessor, you should carry out what he asks of you, even if this costs you greatly. On the other hand, you must tell your confessor everything. There is absolutely no other course for you to take, sister. Pray that you may find a spiritual director, or else you will waste these great gifts of God. I repeat, once again, be at peace. You are following the right path. Take no heed of anything else, but always be faithful to the Lord Jesus. No matter what anyone says about you. It is with such miserable souls that the Lord Jesus communes in this intimate way. And the more you humble yourself, the more the Lord Jesus will unite himself with you. How do you think she's going to feel? Yeah, what a director, huh? Got some directors here, huh? Mary, Eric, wow. What a director. I know, it blows me away. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of different ideas, no? Just one comment on that, then I think I'd like to read one more, how she responds to this. And this is Ignatian spiritual. Unless all of you have some type of spiritual direction, you're never really going to grow to the point that God wants you to grow. You hear me? Unless you all have some type of periodical spiritual direction. I have a provincial, I have a superior, I have a confessor, I have a spiritual director. I've got four people, you know, that basically that are directing me, no? And I have more formation in theology than you people, right? None of you are theologians except Father Broom here, right? 33 years a priest, that's a long time, isn't it? And I think as I get older, the older I get, the more I recognize how I need spiritual direction. When I was younger, I was much more independent and felt that now how important it is to have direction. How easy it is to be misled. How easy it is that the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. And often it's the second series of rules, no, those eight rules, no? The devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. So this group here, all of you should have some type of direction. Otherwise, what's going to happen is all of you, you're going to be good people. It's not good enough. You know why? Because you're not called to be good, you're called to become great saints. Amen? It's not good enough. God wants you to become great saints. So having a director, being open, being humble, being transparent, being open to inspirations, okay, being courageous enough to hear the inspirations and correspond to them, not to shun them, as he says to Faustina. You know, really easier said than done, right? What I'm saying is not that easy, you know. To find the time, to find the direction, to be obedient, to be humble, to be transparent, not to shun the inspirations. Hey, this number is more difficult than you're aware of. No? But it's just, I think, this is a gold mine in spiritual direction. And this one number. It's a gold mine. Do you like this text? Do you like this? I know about you people. I never get tired of reading and commenting on this. But let's see how she reacts. When I left the confessional, ineffable, you know what that means? Undescribable. Joy filled my soul, so that I withdrew to a secluded spot in the garden to hide myself from the sisters, to allow my heart to pour itself out to God. God's presence penetrated me, and in an instant, all my nothingness was drowned in God. Wow. All my nothingness was drowned in God. At the same moment, I felt, or rather discerned, very Ignatian word, huh? Felt, or rather discerned, the three divine persons dwelling in me. And at such great peace in my soul And I myself was surprised that I could have had so many misgivings. So you see, see what the devil was doing? The devil was going to prevent her from going and opening up. Now, what would have happened if she were to have never opened up to that director? We would never have been reading this evening. Right? This beautiful page in Spiritual Direction would never have been penned. And I'm being enriched by it, and so are you. And the last point is beautiful. She recognized the three divine persons living in her soul. All of you, you're baptized, you're confirmed, and you're daily communicants. You are living in the state of grace. You have the three divine persons living in your soul right now. So you can close your eyes and you can talk to your Heavenly Father. You can close your eyes and talk to your older brother, Jesus Christ. Close your eyes and talk to your best friend, the Holy Spirit. This is, in the theology of St. Therese, the Carmelite spirituality, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity through grace. What a beautiful, beautiful text. So pray to God that we'll be humble, we'll be sincere, we'll be transparent, we'll be open to inspirations, open to God's love, we'll be keenly aware of the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity in the very depths of our souls. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lady Guadalupe, St. Joseph, Father and Terry. The Lord be with you. The intercession of St. Faustina, may God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to ask you for a prayer because tomorrow from 10:30 to 2:30, I'll be hearing the first confessions of the little children in the Spanish-speaking program. So, say a prayer for those. Them and their parents, that they really have a great experience, okay? Thank you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.